Man, sometimes in life, you just, man, you find yourself in a season, you say, oh, how I love you. Just stay right there. Just stay right there. I should have them come on back. We should have an extended worship service. Y'all feel what I'm saying here? Oh, how I love you, man. I'll tell you, man, sometimes you don't need to hear much. You just need to just, man, say, Lord, Lord, thank you. And so if you're thankful for the Lord and what he's done for you and who he is, why don't you just tell him thank you and just on the count of three. Y'all good with that? Just tell him, hey, he's worthy. He's good. He's faithful. He's eternal. He's just. He's near. On the count of three, just let him know. One, two, three. Tell your master. Come on, tell your Savior. Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all can tell him. One day you'll be standing in front of him. And I don't think y'all will be sitting down nice and beautiful with that beautiful golf clap. You'll see his beautiful eyes. You'll see his face. You'll see the nail-scarred hands. You'll see all the saints. You'll be gathered with all the great heroes of the faith, the Hall of Fame. You'll see how good and worthy he is. Come on, somebody, give the Lord praise. That's what I'm talking about, man. I tell you what, man, we get in this routine of just being in the perfunctory of doing church. Like, we feel like we're doing God a favor for being here. Amen. God, I mean, just because you're here, you ain't doing him no favor. But this is for your good, though. And he's excited that you're here. But he wants you to learn something. He wants you to lean in. Too often that we come to church in the local gathering, because you are the church, Jesus tabernacles, the Spirit tabernacles in you. But here's the deal. Too often we come into a building like this, and we just kind of think, well, I'm just going to go through the motions, and I'm here. And we actually prepare our hearts getting here saying, I'm not going to allow the Lord to really affect me. Have anybody ever said that today to themselves? Like, you may say, man, Pastor, I don't want to be that person to acknowledge that. But you're in such a season, you're like, man, I don't know if God is able to do anything. And what happens? What if just today God is ready to meet you right where you're at? Today. I believe he is. Even with the topic on head coverings. In the church. Yeah. Head coverings. Now, we've been in this series for some time, really all through the summer, and we're going to keep going. And then we'll wrap it up, and then we'll go into a marriage series, which I'm excited about. But the deal is this. Watch this. Paul has been arguing. Look, guys, this thing has been out of whack. And whenever we move Jesus out of the center, that's why we sang that song. Whenever we move Jesus out of the center, I'm going to tell you something. Chaos is right around the corner. Don't let the culture tell you anything different. Don't even let yourself tell you anything different. That maybe I'm an intellectual and I can figure this thing out. No, you cannot. Jesus is the reason. He's the why. He is the only one, according to Colossians chapter 1, that's holding literally everything together. So the moment we remove Jesus out of the equation, even in chapters 11 to the end of 1 Corinthians, now Paul is going to shift more, yes, answering questions that they were posing, but now he's going to actually argue something different. He's going to talk about the church, the inside the church, order in the church. Now, this is something that has been going on for some time now. In other words, order in the church. Now, in the first century, I mean, it seems as if they got it right, but then not too short after that, time after that, things begin to get a little funky. And it's like the old Disney song. I don't know which one it is. Y'all tell me the movie, but I know the actual the line. Here it is. I had to write it down. A tale as old as time. What movie is that? Beauty and the Beast. There it is. But it's what it is. This issue within the church. Order, structure, Jesus being in the center. Whenever, again, you remove him, you're going to get chaos. And this is a tale as old as time. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 11. What we did as a teaching team, we just said, look, let's draw back. Let's not try to do too much. Let's just deal with 16 verses today. Somebody else say amen. Amen. 16 verses. We're going to just deal with head coverings, right? You say, what am I going to learn today about head coverings? you will learn a lot, hopefully, about head coverings. Amen. The Bible says this in chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 2. Last week, Pastor Steckel ended on verse 1. The Bible says, "Now I commend you because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions even as I delivered them to you." In other words, Paul is saying, y'all got some stuff. The seeds drop. They produce some fruit. Y'all heard the traditions. Now, what he's saying is, he's saying, man, what I've shared with you, doctrine and those things, he's saying you received them and they're bearing some fruit. But typically, whenever a writer is writing to an audience and something arises, he actually addresses those things for a reason. Paul is not just writing haphazardly or just flippantly. So there had to be some disorder in the church. Watch what he says. Verse 3, "But I want you to understand," everybody say understand, "understand, that the head of every man is Christ." Now, don't stone your boy. I'm just the messenger. But thank you for the first verse. Now let's shift to the next. I want to commend you, but also want to challenge you on some stuff. "But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head." You're like, what in the world is this dude talking about, right? "With her head uncovered, dishonors her head, since it is the same as if her head were shaven," or just shaved. "For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head." You're like, Paul, bro, come on, bro. Common day vernacular, right? Verse 7, "For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man." I'll explain in a little bit. "For man was not made," this is this interdependence dynamic and language he's talking about. "For man was not made from woman," check this out, "but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man." Y'all like, some of y'all like, man, look, Paul, man, this is some old archaic ideology, right? Look at verse 10 and we'll wrap it up with this first point. Here it is. "That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of," watch this, that brother says, "the angels." Uh-oh. Huh? Now, I'm gonna tell y'all, this is a very complex text. There's such thing called, when you're in school, you got junior varsity, you have varsity. This is not a junior varsity passage. This is a varsity passage. If you're ready and you say, "Lord, I want to sit under this and listen," here's what he's saying. The Lord wants us all to understand this dynamic because this has been an issue. This rub, this, man, who's in control? Man, no, it ain't, man. It's my will. And it's been this fight since Genesis 3. It's a tale as old as time. And Paul is saying, let's get the record straight. In the context of the local church, within the marriage unit, and I'm gonna talk to singles and widows and widowers, he says this. This order that he's talking about, it's an order really rooted in the Trinity. And not just mere, just not just superiority. He's not just flexing. It's not, we don't have order just to flex. He's saying this order started and originated from somewhere. This is called the genitive of origin in Greek. In other words, life in and of itself, the origins, the things in which we see in our time and space in existence, God is the origin. It originates from him. Order originates from his character. It's not as if God is, again, he's not a Vegas God. Y'all have heard me say this many times over. He doesn't roll the dice on your life nor my life. God is a God of intricate, acute order. That may drive some of us crazy. Why? Because we love control. Any control freaks in the house? Can we testify? Because if your hand ain't raised, you probably test a lion. Amen. Even with your hands down. Any control freaks in the house? Guys, I'm telling you, we got a problem. But God is a God of control. For some of us, that seems as if, But really, I'm thankful for the sovereignty and control of God. Here's why. The sovereignty of God is the CPR for every single Christian. No matter what we face, we can say, God, I know you have my best interest in mind, and it's not based on just merely me. You're sovereign because you're good, and you're going to work this thing out some type of way. So here it is, the order. It's rooted in him. So Paul is saying this, this whole dynamic of this chain order that he gives. He gives this order. You see it in the text. Paul says, God, Christ, man, woman. This isn't a ranking of people by their worth. It's not as if Jesus was less than the Father and man. No. He's not saying that's not the purpose and the argument behind it. It shows a pattern of headship already inside of God himself. Again, order comes from him. And this headship should look like this. It's a source of loving authority. Everybody say loving authority. Loving authority. You see this in Ephesians chapter 5, but we'll get there in a little bit. Like the headship is this, it gives life and direction. The head gives life and direction for the rest of the body. It's not a ruler crushing a subject. Paul is saying there's something going on, the context. Why would you write this? Why would you shift from talking about do all things for the glory of God, imitate me, and then start talking about wearing a do-rag? Because in the context, in this context, we've said this over and over again. Context is key. Context, context, context. Again, I'm going to say this for the Bible study. A person in the room that you want to learn how to study the Bible, if you ever hear a text without a context, you've been conned. Every single text is in a context. So that means, what's going on, Paul? Paul is saying this. Well, there were ladies in first century Corinth. And they were in the temple, and outside the temple, there's a lot of chaotic things going on, and outside the temple, even inside. He's saying, we got to get some order here. And so this idea of structure, the chain, again, originated, genitive of origin, originated out of the being of the eternal God. He said, we got to keep this order because when this order is off, even in the church, what happens is, man, you're going to see chaos come rampant. The ladies, they were doing this. Obviously, there's a lot of sensuality, and Corinthicizing is kind of the language. And if you were Corinthicized, I mean, you're kind of, in a sense, lack of better terms, baptized into sensual living, not underneath the governing of the gospel, the governing of scripture. Yes, I want Jesus, but I want a little bit of something else too. Yes, I know that I'm bought with a price, but I'm bought with a price, but I still want to do me. I'm really still capital L-O-R-D, Lord of my life. He's saying, no. Here's the deal. I'm going to address this thing head on. Ladies, they were walking around. They were taking their head coverings off. Y'all know prostitution was rampant there. Pastor Carlos, he was crazy, man, in our teaching time. And I said, he did this deal. He said, yeah, because what it showed was a lack of honor and disrespect. The ladies didn't have their head covers on, and that was a sign of disrespect or under authority of somebody. Your husband in the house of God? So they were running around just letting their hair down. Pastor Carlos said, he said, man, they were running out like this. Woo. I said, man, he was in a study. I said, man, do that again, man, what you doing? You know what I mean? So, but this lack of authority. Paul is saying, no. That's not how it works. That's very confusing. It causes chaos. It distracts. Now, is Paul talking about hair and just coverings just to talk about that? No. Again, he's using head coverings as an example for a deeper biblical principle. And the principle is this, it's order. Whenever things are out of order, y'all know this would be true, stuff just gets out of line. Imagine driving down the street and there were no speed signs. And y'all have seen that movie, The Purge, right? And I know it's a dark movie, so I'm not vouching for it, but The Purge. It's like for one day or 24 hours, you can just kind of do whatever you want to do and get away with it. Imagine there was no order in life. Think of this. Imagine if there was no limitations on how fast and how slow we can go. Imagine there was no directional signs. Imagine just everybody free to do whatever they wanted to do. Can you imagine with me here? This world will be in utter chaos. And Paul is saying, no. Let's drop the gospel again. Let's put Jesus in the center of this. Because whenever Jesus is in the middle of this, or whatever it is, the church, your marriage, your own life, here he's saying, you better rest assured that clarity is right there. Now, mind you, watch this. He's going, now I want you to understand something. This is not just tradition in a sense of just doing things because you do things. Now, I want you to go back to the Old Testament. The civil law was one thing that God, he commanded his people to actually do. The civil law, some civil things that he wanted them to actually do in Old Testament times. Then there were some ceremonial things that he wanted them to do ceremonially. In other words, we don't sacrifice animals and things in that nature for the forgiveness of our sins. We don't do that. Jesus was the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, who died once and for all. What happened in the Old Testament was just a shadow of what was to come today. Ceremonial. There are some, the cleansing and washing hands and you know, and when visitors come in, you wash their feet when they came in. How many of y'all wash your visitor feet when they come in your house? Exactly. But then there's God's moral law that never changes. These change over time. This will never change. And this is the one that we have a hard time with. Man, God, what do you mean order? I mean, think about this. Think about the whole chain of events. This is what happened in Genesis. The whole idea, when the fall happened, man, this thing was on a crash course very fast. But before the fall, God said, Adam, it's not good that you by yourself, homeboy. You need somebody to help you. You need a helper. You need the Hebrew word, Elzyar Kenegdo. Elzyar Kenegno. It's a companion, one who gives you strength. And it's not as if it's, again, a devaluing of the person, because you may say, well, man, it's still not making sense. Why is there so much order? Why would God have order within the relationship between a man and a woman? It has to be the case. Jesus is fully equal to the Father. Yet he submits to the Father's will, and not just to the Father's will, all the way to the cross. So submission never diminished who Jesus is. I mean, think about this. He's still God in flesh. So the fact that Jesus submits, it doesn't diminish the person of Christ. And as a matter of fact, Jesus, or God himself, Yahweh, would use the same Hebrew terms, Elzyar Kenegdo. He would use that term as a helper to underscore his role with helping and coming alongside of Israel. So ladies, it's not you think of, man, he's just a helper. I'm just a helper. What do you mean? I wanna flex. Now I know y'all may say, man, Pastor, you tripping. I don't do that. Well, you lying. And it's not saying that you gotta be, if your husband tells you something unbiblical, you gotta just listen to that. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the order, the structure. Because when it's in this order, great things can happen. Somebody say great things can happen. God's flourishment, you see, there's peace, there's healing, things make sense. When we walk under God's way, things actually make sense. And so submission is a Christ-shaped calling for every single believer. I want to say it one more time. Submission. That's a word I know we do not like to hear that, man. I tell you, submission. I mean, submit, right? But it's a Christ-shaped calling for every single believer in some relationship, and it's not a burden placed on women alone. That's not what Paul is after. Because God uses the same term again there, but here it is. He said, man, look, Adam, who did God give the commandment to in the garden? Adam. Adam, don't eat of, you can eat all these trees. You got the pomegranate tree over there, you got the plum tree, you got all these trees. But don't eat of this one. Okay, Eve comes along. Do y'all notice this? It's a lot of marriage stuff. Every marriage issue is a gospel issue. Amen. If you ever want to, what's going on in my marriage? It's a gospel issue every single time. But do you know, if you go back and read Genesis, just do it. Just in your own quiet time. Just go back and read. The enemy didn't start attacking until the woman came along. Very interesting, right? God gives Adam the command, creates Eve. Now, here's the deal. Eve gets in a conversation with who? The serpent. Where was Adam? Come on, y'all. Don't mumble on this deal. Let's say it loud. So where was Adam? He was right there in the garden. He didn't take like a train or the red line over to somewhere else. No, he was right there in the garden. So a part of headship would have been this. I got the command from God. The clarity is there. Hey, guess what? Eve, I want to protect you because I'm under the headship of Yahweh Elohim, the Brandon created name of God. I'm underneath his headship. He's given me control. He's given me orders. So here's the deal. I want to protect you. You shouldn't even be talking to this cat. And so, fellas in the room, hear me say this. If we're not protecting our wives from listening to the lies of the enemy, you say, Pastor, where are you getting this from? One, I'm getting it from Genesis, but I'm also getting it from Ephesians chapter 5, that we ought to be washing our wives in the word of God. Washing our wives in the word of God. Now, my marriage ain't perfect. Just be transparent. It ain't perfect. Sometimes I get on Mandy's nerves, she get on my nerve. Come on with it. Come on, Cletus. Come on. But you know what? It's the days when I'm just tired of people. Have you ever been there? Church folk, come on with it. Amen. Church folk. Then your staff stuff, you got, and then you got. You got to come home to four women. Yeah. Man, I'm telling you, thank you. I receive that. I pull in, our neighbor, our little subdivision, I pull in and I can feel the estrogen. It's coming down the street. I'm not even at the house. It's making its way to me, Daquan. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to pull in sometime, and I'm like, man, I'm going to go in here. Yeah, I'm tired, Lord Jesus. I'm about to let the food, man, wash the dishes, man, fold the clothes. You know, so but I pull in, and some days I'm like, man, heck no, I'm about to back up on this joint. Man, I'm about to, right, you know, but I go in, what I do, man, I know in my flesh, I want to be passive. I'm going back to Genesis 3. Men in the room, hear me. I want to be passive. I just want to, no. What I do, that's my second shift. Everybody say second shift. What I do is I by God's grace, and it's only by the Spirit of God. I'm not the hero, because some days I don't get this right. Some days I go in and I'm like, man, look, I'm on a rampage. The sister said amen, right? How you know that? I'm on a rampage. But it's the days when I'm submitted to the Spirit of God. I say, okay, regardless of how I feel, I'm going to take that off. Lord, it's my second shift being a servant to my family. So I walk in, and man, he's like, what's for dinner? I said, don't even worry about it. I'm going to cook for us. Clothes on the couch. Let me grab those. Let me fold those. Let me put the dishes away. And again, some days I don't get that right. Kids, why the clothes on the couch? You feel what I'm saying? But man, we got to serve. Everybody say, brothers, take initiative. Take initiative. The Bible says when you're praying, watch this. He says, every man, verse 4, every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. So in other words, he's playing with words in regards to the order structure. In essence, he uses, which is interesting, he uses the same words, praise and prophesies, for the man as he does for the woman. Now you go, man, Pastor, we can't just skirt over this. I mean, you got to go in the weeds a little bit, partner. So what he's saying is this. I know there's a lot of arguments out there about women being pastors. I understand. I get it. I hear it. But that's not the argument here. What he is saying, that women do have a voice, though. Because how do you say that, Pastor? Well, look at this. He says that they're doing it in the context of the local church already. He said they're praying and they're prophesying. That word prophesying means sound doctrine. They're encouraging the body. I just want to unpack the text. I'm not trying to make any arguments here, but Paul wouldn't have used the same language. So what are you saying? Well, I'm saying this. That still, even if a lady is doing that, if you keep the bigger argument in play, she should still be under the leadership of the church, of her husband. Because remember, the ladies in this context are running around inside the church with hair down, and I mean, poor husbands in that context, man, their wife was running around like that, they're like, man, your wife crazy. She don't even like you, right? I mean, it's just real talk. But beautiful things happen when we do things God's way. I know it's a tale as old as time, but beautiful things happen when we do it God's way. I mean, how many of y'all know the beautiful layout in Psalm 128? Yeah, you can read this later if you want to, but Psalm 128, man, this jumped in our soul as a teaching team. Let me go there real quick. But this is a beautiful picture of how God uses, he uses his divine order and blesses everybody. Psalm 128, it's only six verses. He says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Blessed is who? Everyone who fears the Lord. Fear is basically this. Fear the Lord means I'm going to take God serious. There's awe and there's respect. You put the two together, it's for saying, God, I'm going to take you serious. And mind you, let me just caveat thought this. I believe we as a church, Big C Church, and even here locally, I believe we don't have real fear, healthy fear of God. We've lost that. We've made it about ourselves. We made it about, man, I'm here at church. God, I'm doing you a favor. We made it about, I can attend, watch this. I can attend church one Sunday out of the month. I could be a two Sunday church attender, not a full, God, you ain't getting all of me. You won't get just a half time. There's no such thing as a half time Christian when we got a full time enemy. That's why some of us, we're in shambles. That's why we wonder why we're not growing. That's why we wonder why, man, I can look over the fence and look like their marriage is not better. God is blessing their marriage. Why? Because they're doing it God's way. They're being faithful in the context of the church. They're giving. They're seen regularly. There's something about being, it's something about showing up. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. Lord, I'm taking you serious. Watch this. Who walks in his ways. How do you know you fear the Lord? You walk in his ways. Simple. You see this? And this is what Paul is really arguing. He's letting this thing down. He's saying, look, man, you walk in his ways. You shall eat the fruit of the labor of your hands. You will, yeah, that's going to happen. Watch it. I mean, that's the connection. That's the result. You shall be blessed and it shall be well with you. You say, well, okay, well, cool. Everybody. But then he shifts to the husband. Your wife, verse 3, will be like a fruitful vine within your house. In other words, like a vineyard, like with grapes. She will climb, she will cling to the trellis. She will cling, climb, and then cluster. That's what he's saying. The beautiful picture of there's going to be real growth, and she's going to be a blessing and a fruitful vine within your house. He says the wife. So, well, if it's the wife, well, then guess what? She got a husband. And let me just say this. I said to the first hour, brothers, let me tell you the truth. I know you say, man, but she got to walk with the Lord herself. Well, this is true. But if you say you growing in your walk with the Lord and your wife is not growing, you lie. You ain't walking with him. If you're saying you're walking, you're on point with Jesus, and your wife's countenance doesn't show that, something's off. Because biblically, here's the picture. He says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like an olive shoot or olive shoots around the table. Olive trees, if you know anything, they have the capacity to live for 1,500 years. Deep roots. I pray that my girls would love the Lord and we send them out like arrows. I pray that Mandy and I at least get something right in regards to, man, hopefully we modeled what it looks like to live for Christ under God's order and maybe, just maybe, that they will be blessed and then they will see it, own it for themselves, and be like olive shoots in this culture. Olive shoots. Watch this. One person, wife, kids, beyond, watch this. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. Says man twice, masculine. Verse 5, the Lord bless you from Zion. There was a mountain Zion. There was a place called Zion, and there's a city of Zion, and then there's a local context within Zion, the city, and that was called the church. Here, the Hebrew term is used for the local entity. Watch this. God is saying, what I'm going to do is one person, this is all under God's headship. This is all under order. When we do it God's way, great things are going to happen. He's saying, man, here's the deal. If you fear the Lord, you walk in his ways, your wife will be blessed, your children will be blessed. Not saying everything's going to be perfect, but you better rest assured you're doing it God's way, and that's the most, that's the thing you ought to just be more concerned with than anything else. But not just the house, but the church is going to be blessed. So here's a sign that you know that the church is healthy or unhealthy. It's depending on if the man is leading right. Ah, come on, y'all. Y'all know, like, oh, snap, here's where we at. Here we got it, we got to drop it like it's hot. Brother, this is men. This is how we know the church is healthy, when we are leading in God's design and order. But ladies, here it is. You got to submit to that beautiful picture too. And brothers, I'm going to tell you something. There's no lady, I think we've said this before, there's no lady or wife in this room that does not want to submit to a brother that's chasing hard after Jesus. That's actually attractive. But ladies, don't be that dripping faucet though. You know what Proverbs talk about? The dripping faucet that never stop. And the Bible says, man, it's better to go live on the top of a corner of a roof than sitting there with that running water. You know what the running water is? I'm like grandma back in the South. Running water. The running water is you run your mouth too much. Control your tongue. See, here's what happened. We try to attack. We attack. But this is an interdependence piece. And Paul's going to pick up on that. But watch this. He blesses the individual. He blesses the wife, the kids, the church. And then he says, may you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. Well, that's a city. So now you see this domino effect all the days of your life. So this is just ongoing presence and impact. Verse 6, may you see your children's children. There it is, offspring. And peace be upon Israel, the whole nation. Why do you share that? Well, Paul is saying, when you do it God's way, think great things happen. And then he unpacks. This whole argument, I can read all this stuff, but he's just reiterating it different ways. Look at this, verse 7. For a man ought not cover his head, since he is the image of the glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. Watch this. That is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. What is he saying? Well, even the angels, when we worship, remember the context, they're in the local church. Even the angels are saying, man, are they submitting to your word, Lord? They want to see if we're going to follow. Like, worship is just not about us. Worship is impacting. There's other things at play within when we come to worship. Or do you come to worship ready? That's what Paul is saying. Do you come ready? Hearts ready. Submitted in the right process, in the right place. Do you, do I, do we come ready? Because the angels are watching. You see this? The angels are literally watching. Some of us, we roll out of bed and we're like, look, I didn't, man, I was at the club last night. I'm just going to roll into church. You can't, you better prepare your heart. You're not walking in to see some random, you're coming to meet, and God wants to meet with you. The God of the universe has a word for you. But sometimes we come in and we're not even ready and we miss what God wants for us. He says, man, even the angels, for the sake of the angels. Then he says this, nevertheless, in the Lord, women, it's not independent of the man. Here it is. There it is. Uh-oh. Nor man of the woman. So it's definitely not codependency to where it's like, well, yeah, I need him. Yeah, I mean, okay, I need her. Okay. Y'all need each other. Y'all one flesh. I get it. Leave and cleave. I do understand this. But the idea is there's an interdependence. There is a beautiful interdependence in regards to how they function, the man and the woman in the marriage unit. Valuing each other, supporting each other. Brothers, allowing your wife to have space to discover what God has called her to. I never forget this. When God called me to ministry, I'd say, Mandy, you know, Mandy, boom, Mandy, woo, woo. By the way, Mandy's at student camp serving with the 11th grade girls, so just pray for her. So yeah, but here it is. Mandy, I'm the preacher dude, and then you're going to be like, be behind me, and we're going to be like just a tandem. We're going to preach together. You know, we're going to rule. We're going to travel and preach. I had this whole vision. How many of y'all ever had like a vision? Now, Mandy is smart. Mandy's a great teacher. She's a great theologian. But she wasn't feeling that. She's like, no, that's you. That's you. I ain't heard nothing from the Lord, from Jesus. But what God had to take me to the woodshed and say, Marcus, no. You need to give her space to discover what I've called her to do. And that's a part of being a great husband. That's a part of being a husband that's submitted under leadership. Do you even know what your wife is gifted at? Have you encouraged her in that? You got this, babe. That's the whole picture. So here it is. He says, man, look, for as a woman was made for man, and so man is now born of woman, and all things are from God. There's no reason to brag. One great leader said it this way. He said, the apple is the glory of the tree, and the tree is the source of the apple. Which is better? Think of it logically. Neither. But apples shouldn't act like trees, and trees shouldn't act like apples, but they both need each other, and they both benefit from one another. So the gospel is this. He says, look at nature, 13, really down to 16. Look at nature. In other words, he's saying, this is the way it looked. This is the way it's been. Look at nature. Look at creation. You don't have to go to medical school to see that there's an innate difference between man, the appearance of man and woman. I mean, with hair long, it's typically men have shorter hair. If you have long hair, it's not a knock on you today if you have longer hair than a dude. It's not the point, but he's saying it historically, and just as you look at nature, look at time, he's saying this. Nature actually supports what I'm saying, is what Paul is saying. It's supporting what I'm actually talking about. So you don't have to go to medical school. You don't have to go to how to study the Bible and how to study the body and the man and the woman. It's a clear distinction between a man and a woman. And the God of nature shows us his intricate orchestration of order. Now, the gospel is this. Ben Young, come on out. Christ is the ultimate head of the body. Y'all, how many of y'all stubborn? Anybody stubborn? Yeah. This sound like, okay, I hear what I need to do, but man, as soon as I leave here, man, hopefully you're not abusing your husband and there's abuse going on. Hopefully none of that going on. It'd be bad. I know verbal abuse is something that happens. Hopefully not physical abuse, but we're stubborn. Our hearts... I'm telling you, don't put too much stock in your own heart. Our hearts are prone to wander. But listen to what Jeremiah said. I love this. Jeremiah 7, 23 through 24. He says, but this command I gave them, talking about his people, obey my voice and I will be your God and you shall be my people. And walk. Everything is connected to what he says and then walking. And walk in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you. Sounds like Psalm 128. But they did not obey or incline their ear to me, but walked in their own counsel, and the stubbornness of their own evil hearts. Watch this. And went backwards instead of forwards. If you ever want to think, I'm going forward with Jesus, well, if you're not following his commands, you're going backwards. If you're not obeying what the scripture says, trust me, you're going backwards. There's no neutral ground with Jesus. So maybe today you're saying, what does this mean? Well, Christ, the ultimate head, did not use his headship to take. He gave himself up for the church. Ephesians 5, 25. He gave. Religion takes. Hear me say this. Religion always takes from you. The gospel always gives. It gives. A man's headship doesn't look like laying down his life. Me and my life, it's a counterfeit, brothers. Just wearing biblical language around it. It's a counterfeit. And women, the same. Here's the deal. If it doesn't include or see real strength and dignity and voice and support, like Ezar, Kenegdo, like God said, I'm coming alongside of Israel to make sure they're what I've called them to be. Here it is. If that's not happening for the lady to the guy, for the husband, it's a distortion too. And the cross corrects both because it's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. I know it's a hard one to hear, man. It's hard for me to hear. It's a hard one, though, but here's the dynamic. And I want to say this, and we're really done. Here's the deal. If you've been hurt by this text, maybe somebody was like, man, you need to do what I say or do whatever. I know, man, people, we're wicked. If this text has hurt you and somebody has used this text to hurt you, demanded your silence to excuse, give them excuse for their control or make you feel small, I'm here to tell you that's not what Paul is saying, nor is that what the Bible teaches. Nor, that's not what the Bible teaches. So how do we live this out? It's easy. First, we got to submit to, brothers, submit to the lordship of the Holy Spirit. God, I cannot do this. You literally have to do this through me. You have to. And we lay our lives down for our family. We initiate the time of prayer, initiate the time of scripture at our homes. You don't have to be a scholar in Leviticus. That's not what I'm saying. No. Just read one verse. Initiate it. Protect your wife spiritually. Protect what comes into your home. Protect what your kids watch. Adam failed at this deal, but God, in Christ, we have the second Adam who gives us a new picture of what this thing actually looks like. Wives, your calling is at Ezar, to be strength, not to be passive. No, use your voice. Use your gifts. Man, declare, I have a voice. Yeah. In the marriage and in the church. Because I tell you what, the culture is saying what the women can't do in the church. I'm arguing this. So what can ladies do then? That what can they do? What can they do? Singles in a room? Your worth is not found in the fact that you're the marriage status. I'm not married, so I'm less than. No. God loves you completely, 100% now. So be the person that you want the person you're after to actually see and love and marry. Be that person now. Let the Spirit use you. Every believer, you need to guard against both errors. A culture that erases God's design. Guys, the culture's not backing off of this deal. It's full. It's the gas pedal is to the ground. Y'all hear what I'm saying here? Some of us, you're probably wrestling with this. Well, I hear what the Bible says, but that's archaic. No, it's God's word. It's truth. So a culture that's trying to erase God's design and a religious culture that twists headship into control, no. As believers, let's guard against both errors. And then this week, what's the easy way to do this? Well, pick one relationship, a spouse, a friend, someone in church, and do one deliberate thing to honor them the way Christ has honored you. How easy is that? So I want to pray for the really marriages and single people in the room. But if you want to bring, if you as a married couple, you want to come down, you can do that. Just come grab your spouse, fiance, whatever it is. Come down if you want to pray. I want to pray over you. But then if you're single, I want to pray for you too. I want to pray for y'all. I want to pray. Let's pray. I mean, I know you're like, oh, snap, I want to pray. I'm going to grab my wife. They're going to think something wrong. Well, God already knows stuff wrong. Jesus, I mean, here's the deal. I want to pray for us. The healthier, y'all saw it in Psalm 128. Grab your spouse. If you're single, say, I'm coming down. I want to be the person that I know God is calling me to be. So when I marry this person, I'm going to be that person that I want them to have. I want to be that person. Here's the deal. It changes today. It changes now. The gospel is the only thing that can change the heart. Not winning arguments on roles and discussing and debating all that stuff. That doesn't change the heart. What changes the heart is the gospel, the euangelion, the good news, getting down inside of you and producing what only it can produce, and that is the characteristics and the fruit of the Spirit of Jesus: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Y'all know what the rest of them, right? We can't produce that in of ourselves, but the Bible says is if we remain in him and him in us, we'll bear much fruit. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I want to bear some fruit. Anybody want to bear fruit? Man, I'm kneeling right here. Hey, I don't know. We can sing a stanza. I don't know what we're going to do, but we need to pray and just say, God, would you move in our marriage? Would you move in my singleness? Will you help me to be pure? Will you help me to guard my eyes? Would you help me to lead my wife? Would you help me to submit in the proper order? Whatever it is applicable for you, God sees you, he loves you, he knows you, and has a perfect plan for your marriage and your singleness. Because he's sovereign. We talked about that. So, Father, thank you. That you're a good God, and you give goodness its definition. Because we can look at the culture and say, man, God, how can you be good? We can look at things that we've been through and say, God, how are you really good? No, you give goodness its definition. We can look at your track record. You've always been good, and actually, we can always look back to Calvary. If we ever wonder if you love us, if we ever wonder if you care about us, if we ever wonder if you have a plan and purpose for our lives, we can look to Calvary. So, Father, today as singles, at the altar, we're saying, Lord, will you be Lord over my life? Will you be my sole companion? Will you be my only affection? That my heart will long for you greater than anything else, greater than having a spouse. Because in reality, if you're not content with Jesus, you and him, you won't be content when he brings somebody else along. So, Lord, help me to be content in my walk with you and be the person you want me to be. So when you bring that person, I'll be ready. Lord, have mercy on me, please. And then for the married couples in the room, Lord, I pray for protection. I pray that you'll breathe fresh wind in the marriages. I pray, Lord, you'll breathe love again. Joy, affection. You'll breathe forgiveness and not bitterness. Help them to see that they're on the same team and they're not fighting against each other. Lord, I pray against the enemy. He's a low-down, dang, dirty rascal. He doesn't have any foothold in the marriages. Jesus, you are the foundation. You are the center. And we've already sang it and we already see it in the text. When we remove you from the center, chaos is always there. So, Lord, today, by your grace and mercy, we are asking that you will be center again in our lives, in our homes, how we parent, how we submit. Jesus, please, will you heal today? Supernaturally. Will you grant forgiveness where it's hard to forgive? Help us to have the heart of Christ. Help us to have the mind of Christ. Help us not to operate out of stubbornness. But help us to submit to your word, God, because your word is good. So thank you for today. It was like having real nasty medicine today, Jesus. But we know that it's good for our soul. And thank you that your word is our soul food. We pray this in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the Crossroads Sermons podcast. If you would like more information about our church, please visit www.crossroadstw.org.